Are these three going to be okay sitting there in their own world? They'll be all right. Yeah, they start having their own, yeah, okay. There's other people in the room. Okay, we're going to do a little quiz question. 1, 2, 3, 4. Number 4. Let's see. 5. Okay, 5. So, who wants to go first? You can go first, because the one that goes last is going to have the greatest challenge. You can go last. So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is a section of Srimad Bhagavatam from Canto 5. Oh, I didn't bring my pen dry. Okay, so this is a section of Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 5, Chapter 19. From the fifth canto, part of the fifth canto was a description of the universe. There's 10 topics in Srimad Bhagavatam, and one of them is sthana. Sthana means, translation of Prabhupada gives us, the structure of the universe. One of the topics that the Srimad Bhagavatam talks about is the structure of the universe. And the major part of that is in Canto 5. And in Chapter 15, there's a description of Kim Purusha Varsha. Kim Purusha Varsha is a place where Hanuman resides. I'll use my... Tino Beach made a very wonderful little video, animated video presentation of what the planetarium is going to look like. You know, a conceptual picture. But I don't have that with me, so, but this connects with that, so I'm just going to use my hands and make a planetarium with my hands. So, the planetarium, you know what the planetarium is? Planetarium project? Yes? At the bottom of the universe, so it's like a chandelier. Like this is a chandelier. There's some crystals, and they're all supported, something at the top, and then something down and down and down and down. And down. But the chandelier and the Vedic planetarium is moving, because it's the whole inside the universe, the planets are all moving. So it has not the entire thing, but the upper portions are moving. So it shows that the lower, their video shows, Vibhod Ananta Shesh. Who's Ananta Shesh? Yeah, and very good. Serpent, many hoods. The many hoods of Ananta Shesh that's holding up this big chandelier, holding up the structure of the universe. And Ananta, Lord Ananta, that's the name of the personality of Godhead, he's instructing the four Kumaras in this region. And then above the abode of Ananta and Sheshanag, there's the seven lower planetary systems. And then comes this big spread out space where there's the dual Bhumandala. Bhumandala is the whole universe, that's the right term. This middle planetary region. Bhumarloka. Thank you. Bhumarloka. So it shows in the center is Jambudvipa. So Jambudvipa is an island surrounded by a ring of ocean, and then a ring island, and a ring of ocean, and a ring of island, and a ring of ocean, and a ring of island. And it takes you, you'll see, the video takes you out and out and out and out to Loka Loka mountain range, and then the other side is Aloka Varsha, where you can't, there's no sunlight that goes there. So in this central region, there's in the middle of Jambudvipa is an inverted ice cream cone made of gold. It's a mountain where it's narrow at the bottom and wider at the top. You ever seen such a mountain? Never seen such a mountain. But that's Mount Meru. It's a long, I won't go into the detail, but it shows us, you know, how come it's like that. And on top of Mount Meru are the residents of various devas in the cardinal directions, eight cardinal directions, north, south, east, and west, northeast, southeast, like that. Eight cardinal directions. And then down at the bottom, there are different dvipas, or different varshas on Jambudvipa. So Kim Purusha Varsha is one of them. Bharat Varsha, you've heard that before, right? That's, which is Bharat Varsha? Where we are. This earthly realm. So then there's different varshas at the base of this Mount Meru. That's the central island, and then ocean and island, ocean and island, ocean and island. And then it takes you vertically upwards. There's the region where the Kinneras and the Gandharvas and the Siddhas and the different Apsaras and things like that, they have their realm. And then above that is the realm of the Devas. What's that called? Realm of the Devas. Huh? I'm listening. Yeah, Swargaloka. Bhuvar and Swargalokas. So it gives you a little tour of the Swargaloka and the residents there. And then it keeps going up. Maharloka, Jamaloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka, where Lord Brahma resides. And it gives, so there's a pivot or a vertical spine that goes through the middle, and then these different realms are situated in a vertical direction going upwards. Then it shows, you know, the covering of the universe, and then it shows well, before you even get there, there's the astrolabe, that's the part that's moving, and that's where the planetary, the stars and the luminaries in the sky are. Then just keep taking through the layers of the universe, through Shivaloka, then the abode of Lord Vishnu, Haridam, Ayodhya Dham, and the Loka Dham. And they plan to depict five different rasas in Goloka Dham. And all of this is going to be in our planetarium. So why am I telling you all this? It's like, it's really fantastic what they're doing. It's one of the reasons. And chapter 19 of Canto 5 is about one of those varshas in Javadweep, Kim Purusha Varsha. And that's the abode where Hanuman and others who are Ram Bhaktas reside in this earthly realm. So, okay, now comes the participation of this question. I'd like each of you five to say something, one something, about Hanuman. We'll start with you. Something about Hanuman. He went where?
To Lanka.
He went to Lanka. What did he do there?
He was
searching for Sita. So he went all the way from the southern tip of India to Lanka to search for Sita. That was a long distance. You know the distance? 100 yojanas. You know how many miles that is? 800 miles. So, let's see what else. How was he able to do that? Yeah, you know how that happened? No? Let's do this. Well, which is the wonderful. What makes it advance? Krishna. Yes?
Okay.
Huh? This one? Yeah. Time out for technology test. Ah! Which one? Oh, up and down, okay. Good. Okay, so this is one thing that Hanuman is known for. He could leap long distances. Oh, this one down, okay. And that he was there's another something about Hanuman. He was the son of, who was he the son of? Vayu. Right? Is that right? Who's Vayu? Wind god. So Hanuman's mother and Vayu combined together to produce Hanuman. And when Hanuman was born, like little children, he saw this ball in the sky. So he wanted to reach that ball in the sky, and so he jumped. And zoom, 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 he was flying through the air and heading toward, it was the sun in the sky. And the demigods were seeing Hanuman go flying through the air, and they're going, wow, look at that. But when Indra saw, uh-oh, maybe he's trying to take over the kingdom of Indra, the heavenly planets. So Indra sent a thunderbolt, and it hit Hanuman. And Hanuman went crashing to the ground and broke his jaw. In fact, one of his names indicates he has a broken jaw. So everyone praised him. But then he was given this benediction. Although he could still have the power to jump like this, he would forget that he had the power to jump like that until somebody reminded him. And it's when Jambavan reminded him, when they were trying to decide who could jump all the way to Lanka, Jambavan said, he can do that. Hanuman, remember when you were very young? And he remembered, because he had given this benediction that he wouldn't remember, so that he wouldn't get another thunderbolt and another broken jaw. But then, in service to Ram, he was given that remembrance. So then he used that power to, well, that's another thing that he did. there we go, to travel all the way to Lanka and then use that power. What does this depict?
Lakshmi was good. So he was grabbing the herbs from the hill. He was assigned to grab the herbs from the hill.
Yeah.
So he wasn't able to leave.
When he got there, he couldn't figure out which herb was which, so he brought the whole mountain. The physician, there is Lakshman lying in the battlefield. There is Hanuman who has brought the herb. And here's the physician administering the herb. And Lakshman is revived because Hanuman is successful in bringing back this special herb from the mountain. Then he went and did it again, did it twice. Okay, so now. What would you like to say about Hanuman? We're glorifying Hanuman now. When he found Sita, what quality that Hanuman has did he exhibit? Well, several qualities. What are some of the qualities that Hanuman exhibited when he found Sita? Remember, Sita was under a tree, the Ashok garden of Ravan, and there were all the Rakshasis surrounding Sita. What did Hanuman do? First, he made himself really small. So this is another... He could make himself big or small. And he could even take different shapes. Sometimes this and sometimes that. So he became very small. And then... he just sang the glories of Ram. Why did he do that? She would be attractive because she just loved Ram. And when she heard the glories of Ram, she went... Ram! Where is this wonderful voice coming, glorifying Ram in the midst of the Rakshasis? So, he was a minister, is the point. He was very expert at how to carry out services on behalf of Lord Ramachandra or Sugriva or whatever, whoever service he was in. An expert minister. Remember what else he did? And then he jumped down. And then, yeah, Sita was scared. Maybe it's a trick. Yeah. And then one more thing. Hanuman produced what? The ring of that Lord Ramachandra had given to him. And then Sita knew. He's the messenger of Ram. He was a very expert minister. What would you like to say about Hanuman?
I don't remember the exact details of the story.
That's okay. Rough idea.
How much do you really love?
Yeah. There's Ram, right? It's inside. Look. There's nothing there but Ram. Very good. Very good. And because he was so devoted to Ram, he was ready to do anything that Ramachandra wanted. Even if it was very difficult. Except the most difficult thing. What was the most difficult thing that Hanuman was asked to do by Lord Ramachandra? I'll give you a hint. Separation.
Oh, just stay.
Yeah. Yeah.
After Ram
left, after ruling for 60,000 years, Ram returned to the spiritual realm of Ayodhya and told Hanuman, I'm taking everybody with me, but I want you to stay behind. So that you can glorify, till the end of the universe, you can spread my glories. So he had some service that made him very happy. Hanuman likes to serve. But in separation from Ram, it was very difficult. But he followed his instruction. Okay, you have the last. Something glorification of Hanuman. We covered everything, right?
He exemplifies the quality of Dasyam.
The quality of Dasyam, very good. So they're different rasas, and Hanuman is a superlative example of dasya rasa. He simply wanted to serve Ramachandra. Okay, so this is, we're going to be discussing the first eight verses of chapter 19, and as this first verse says, my dear king, Sukadeva speaking to Maharaj Pariksit, in Kim Purusha Varsha, the great devotee Hanuman is always engaged with the inhabitants of that land in devotional service to Lord Ramachandra, the elder brother of Lakshmana, and dear husband of Sita Devi. We can see at the top, this is an image of Hanuman where he was able to become really big. I mean, really big. So big as Lord Ram is in the palm of his hand. There are examples when Hanuman was taking Ram and Lakshman to go meet Sugriva. He just placed both of them, one shoulder, left shoulder, and leaped up the mountain. Or when they crossed the bridge, 100 yojanas long, Hanuman carried Ram. And Angada carried Lakshman. Very, very strong and powerful. A host of Gandharvas is always engaged in chanting the glories of Lord Ramachandra. That chanting is always extremely auspicious. Hanumanji and Arshashena, the chief person of Kim Purusha Varsha, constantly hear those glories with complete attention. Hanuman chants the following mantra. Look very carefully in the center of Hanuman's chest, there's Sita and Ram. It's not a tattoo either, it's just this artist rendering of what's in his heart. And he has these instruments, he says, singing the praises of Ram. Because for him, that's the greatest happiness. Because when you, there's a nice description in the first canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, when Krishna had left the planet and Arjuna had come back to Hastinapur to bear the bad news that Krishna had finished his pastime and he was gone. And he was, like Hanuman felt, really smashed, feeling the separation from Hanuman, from Lord Ramachandra. So similarly, Arjuna was he looked terrible. Yudhisthira said, what happened, Arjuna? You look terrible. And he knew, he just didn't want to even say it. And Arjuna said, Krishna's gone. He left. He finished his pastimes. And in return to the spiritual world, we will no longer have this association. And then he started thinking of the ways in which he and his brothers, the Pandavas, associated with Krishna. And it was Krishna's pastime, and Krishna this, and Krishna did that, and then his teachings in Bhagavad Gita. And then he started feeling happy again. Because the separation was closed, or the meeting was made possible through chanting the glories of Krishna. Then Arjuna understood that Krishna was very kind by speaking Bhagavad Gita to him, because it gave him the opportunity to always be associating with him. Same for us, and same for Hanuman. So he's engaged like this because otherwise he'd be smashed. He wouldn't be able to bear the separation from Ram. But by chanting like this constantly, he's feeling Ram's association. And so happy. Whoops. This is an example of Hanuman's servitorship when he first met Ramachandra and Lakshman. Where was that? Lake. The hermitage of sage Matanga. After he met Shabari, Shabari sent him in the direction of Rishimukh Mountain, right? And as Ram and Lakshman were heading towards Rishimukh Mountain, Sugriva up on top of the mountain saw them coming. And he started getting really nervous. Who are these two wearing the garments of a mendicant but carrying bow and arrow? What's this? Hanuman, you're an expert minister, right? Go in disguise as a Brahmin and check them out. See what's going on. Who are they? But as soon as Hanuman came before them, although he was disguised, just hearing their voice and seeing the countenance of Ram, he realized, I don't need any disguise anymore. He just approached them, touched their feet. This was the first meeting between Ram and Hanuman. It's very, very wonderful. After, it's a nice pastime. And the friendship that developed between them, although Hanuman was in the conservatorship, Ram trusted him so much that of all the vanaras, one thinks, one day the little girl will grow up and then will be peaceful. And then there's some other little girls, there's some other little boys. It just keeps happening like that. Somehow. The Dasya Rasa was the relationship, but Ram understood the qualification and dedication of love of Hanuman and everything. You're most likely to find Sita, you take this ring. I mean, that's a lot of trust and confidence and intimacy. Practically from their first meeting and every step thereafter. Hanuman was very dear to Ram, as Ram was very dear to Hanuman. Okay, so here's text number 3. Let me please your lordship by chanting the Bija mantra Omkara, as you see at the top left corner. This prayer begins, Om Namo Bhagavate Uttamashlokaya. Very similar to how the Srimad Bhagavatam begins. You know how the Srimad Bhagavatam begins? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So that's a Vedic mantra. Oh, this is Uttama Shlokaya. Do you know what Uttama Shloka means? You know what Shloka means? First. Uttama? Topmost, highest. Right. Uttama Shloka. That's a name of the Supreme Lord. Uttama Shloka. He who is praised by choice or topmost verses. Uttama Shlokaya. Om Namo Bhagavate. Uttama Shlokaya. That's how the prayer begins. I wish to offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the best among the most highly elevated personalities. So here he's reciting qualifications or glories of the Supreme Lord. Ramachandra is not just one of us or a great man, a big king. He's God. Hanuman understands that because of his devotion to him. He's able to understand that. Your lordship is the reservoir of all the good qualities of Aryans, people who are advanced. Your character and behavior are always consistent, and you always control your senses and mind, acting just like an ordinary human being. You exhibit exemplary character to teach others how to behave. So you're God, but you're appearing like a man to teach men how to behave. He's teaching by example. So each of the Leela avatars, there's a specific function that they perform. And the function of Ram is the function of an ideal king. Yes? Ideal king. So kings, certainly, generally, they're very powerful. But they're not always a good character. Ram is all powerful and of ideal character. And therefore he taught all of the kings how to behave, how to conduct themselves, the character of an ideal king. There is a touchstone that can be used to examine the quality of gold, but you are like a touchstone that can verify all good qualities. You are worshipped by Brahmanas, who are the foremost of all devotees. You, the Supreme Person, are the King of Kings. And therefore I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. So, as the ideal king, one of the things, besides the character, exemplifying perfect character of a king specifically, he uses bow to give protection to the sadhus, the sages in the forest, and all varieties of people. This is one of the things that are king is supposed to do, give protection to the citizens. But the protection is given according to the laws of Dharma. There's a very nice section where Sita is concerned, and she shares her concern with Ram. You've just given a vow to Sutikshna that you're going to destroy all the Rakshasas in the forest. But the Rakshasas haven't done anything to you. And if you use your great strength and harm others who haven't done anything to you, then you're using your strength in a hurtful way or an undharmic way. This gives me great concern. The nice section. She says, even a person of perfect virtue can be corrupted by three things. You're familiar with this section? Nice. She says that if the three things are If a man covets another man's wife, his good character can be completely destroyed. If a man doesn't uphold his word, they can give their word and then deviate from their word. All of their good character can be lost. She said, as far as these two, you're my husband, I know your nature. There's not any thought of any other woman than myself. And as far as your word, you've demonstrated your upholding Nasrath's word is your word. Your word is invincible, unshakable. But this other, when one has some power, and without being governed by the laws of Dharma, if one has some power, one can misuse that power. If you're not governed by Dharma. Then she gave a story. She said there was a sage that lived in the forest, and he was very pure and very simple and very austere, and because of his austerities and his good qualities, he had become very powerful. And Indra was very concerned, he's becoming very powerful. Maybe he wants to take over my kingdom. He gets this thought every now and then and does some strange things. So this time, Indra came in disguise as a king of this world. And he traveled through the forest and came to where the sage was and said, "Oh, my dear sage, I'm far away from my palace. I'm carrying this sword, but I really don't need it. So can I leave it with you for safekeeping? I'll come back later and retrieve it." And the sage said, "Sure, you can just leave it by my cottage. No one will bother it out here in the forest." "Oh, thank you very much." And Indra left. But because the sage was a Brahmana, he kept his word. And so when he went to get water or take his bath or pick up and gather berries and roots and edible wild edibles, he took the sword with him. Wherever he went, he took the sword with him. And just by having his hand on that powerful sword, one day he used the sword and killed an animal, just mercilessly. And all of the merit of that sage was gone just from that one act. Because having his hand on the sword, he became corrupted by that power, although he was a good man, a qualified Brahmin. So simply, Ram, you have a bow and arrow, and you're in the forest, and you've taken a vow to kill all the Rakshasas who have not harmed you. So I'm just concerned for your welfare. And Ram was very pleased. He said, only a person as intimate with me as are you can speak this way. I know it's only out of your love for me you're saying this. But please understand, although I'm in the forest, I'm the son of Dasarath. I'm part of the royal family. And it's my duty as part of the royal family to give protection to the Brahmanas. And the Brahmanas have approached me and asked the son of Dasarath to give them protection. I can't say no. It's my duty. And see, I've already given my word. So you trust that my word is unbreakable? I give you my word that I will never use this sword or my arrows for anything other than actions according to the principles of Dharma. So Sita was happy. So Hanuman understands this about Lord Ramachandra. Lord Ramachandra is of ideal character. He's the personality of Godhead, but he's teaching others what is that ideal character. And he gives protection to the innocent people. There's another scene, not only his own bow, but in the court of Janak, who's pictured over here, seated on the big throne. He's one of the 12 Mahajans. Is that right? You know what the Mahajans are? Pralada, Janaka, Bhishma, Balir, Vyasiki, Vayam. Spoken is in the seventh canto. Sixth canto. Spoken by Yamaraj, where there's 12 great authorities. Narada, Shukadev, know the list? I'm forgetting the list right now. There's 12 great authorities. Vyasadev. So, one of the 12 authorities cited by Yamaraj is Janaka, the father of Sita. So her, one of her names is Janaki, the daughter of Janak. So there's Janak and there's Janaki holding the garland. And King Janak wanted a qualified king to marry his daughter. And so the arrangement was that king or that prince who could string this bow. The bow was so big it took some number of men, 300 men, rolling the thing out on wheels just to bring it out into the royal assembly. No one could pick it up, what to speak of string it. But when Ram picked it up, he not only could pick it up and string it, he broke it in half. And the sound vibration of the bow breaking in half was so intense it just knocked over the people in the assembly. And so Ram was married to Sita in the court of King Janak. What is this painting? Who is this? Bharata. What's he worshipping?
The
sandals of Ram. Because when Ram went into exile in the forest, Bharat wanted Ram to come back and rule, but he wouldn't, because his father said 14 years in the forest. So he went and he gave the shoes to Bharat, who did he rule from a little distance, not in the royal palace, sleeping on the floor like Ram was sleeping on the floor, worshipping the feet of Ram, worshipping the shoes of Ram. Now here's a very interesting, puzzling, some for some people at least, puzzling pastime. This is Ram worshipping Lord Shiva. Question, why is Ram worshipping Lord Shiva? It would seem to some, if Ram is worshipping Lord Shiva, that means Lord Shiva is the worshipable Lord of Lord Ramachandra. What do you think?
Kind of confusing.
It's confusing? Kind of confusing. Let's get unconfused instead of confused. First of all, in Valmiki Ramayana, this pastime doesn't take place. There's another pastime that doesn't take place in Valmiki Ramayana, and that is Lakshman making a circle around the cottage before going to find Ram. The Lakshman Rekha is not a pastime that takes place in Valmiki Ramayana. But we honor it because Lord Chaitanya did, because in Lord Chaitanya's travels in South India, he went to this place, the place where Rameshwaram, where Lord Ramachandra worshipped Lord Shiva. Now, what was the reason that Lord Ramachandra worshipped Lord Shiva? The pastime went like this. After Ramachandra killed Ravana, Ramchandra requested Vibhishan, I want to go very quickly back to Ayodhya because Bharat is very concerned. The time for exile is nearly past and he's going to be in big anxiety if I don't get back very quickly. So can you make some arrangement so we can get back very quickly? Now this is Ramachandra, he doesn't need anybody's help to do anything. But he's giving Vibhishan some service. So what does Vibhishan do? He calls with his mind the Pushpaka Vimana. Pushpaka Vimana is an airplane that travels according to the indication of the mind. So Sita, Ram, Lakshman, Hanuman, and then some versions say as they started to leave all the monkey soldiers, they wanted to go too. They wanted to see Ram become coronated. So Pushpaka Vimana expanded and they all got on the Pushpaka Vimana. And as the airplane was traveling, the whole Ramayana in reverse is being narrated by Ram to Sita as he describes the places where the battles took place outside of the fortress of Ravan. And then this is where Hanuman killed Lankini, defeated Lankini as he was in. Then all the places where Hanuman had his pastime crossing the ocean. And then they came in for a landing. Ram reigned for the airplane to descend. And at this, there's like a little peninsula that goes out very near where the bridge crossed over to Lanka. And Vibhishan requested Ram to break the bridge. Vibhishan said to Ram, if this bridge still exists, now that you have Sita back, now that the bridge still exists, then people can invade Lanka. And maybe even sometime in the future, some wild people will come from Lanka and invade in South India. So, can you break the bridge? So Ram broke the bridge with his bow at a place called Danush Tirtha. What does Danu mean?
Bow.
So with his bow, he broke the bridge. So it's a sacred place, and Ram took his bath there and said, anyone who takes their bath at Danush Tirtha will become freed from all the sinful reactions of their life. And then he was received in that area by a great sage named Agastya. And Agastya started praising Ram. You performed such wonderful activities. He described the Ramayana once again in short and did various praises, indicating, same as Hanuman, that he understood that he was the personality of Godhead. And then Ram acknowledged, yes, everything that he said is quite fitting. In other words, yes, I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he said to Agastya, could you please give me, you're a learned Brahmana, can you give me the advice how I can atone for the sin of killing a Brahmana? Who's the Brahmana that he was referring to? Brahmana. Could you explain how Brahmana was a Brahmana when he was behaving in such a terrible way? His grandfather was Palashya Muni. And his grandfather's father is Lord Brahma. So Lord Brahma, Palashya Muni. And then who was Palashya Muni? Vishrava. Right? And Vishrava's son, one of Vishrava's sons was Ravana. It's already 9 o'clock. If we had some extra time, it's a very interesting connection. I'll just do it quickly. Vishrava was a Brahmana, very, very qualified Brahmana. And one of the wives of Vishrava, a son was born named Kuvera. Kuvera was one of the sons of Vishrava. And Kuvera was a very dear devotee of Lord Shiva. So Vishrava made a quest of Lord Shiva to arrange a special residence for Kuvera. So Vishvakarma made this golden city that was the place of residence of Kuvera. Then later, Vishrava married a second wife who was from the Daitya side. I forget her name. From the Daitya side, the name starts with a K. Anybody know? You have one of those little devices, you can look it up. Starts with a K. So she, from her, Ravana was born as the eldest son. The Ravana and Kuvera were stepbrothers. So because he was born, Vishrava trained him in all brahminical knowledge and skills and brahminical arts. His father was very qualified, Brahmana. And Ravana was trained in all those ways. But his mother's father was an ardent Daitya. So he influenced Ravana to abandon the ways of his father in brahminical life and become a very powerful ruler. And he gave him advice how to do it. And Ravana liked the advice. So he went to the forest and engaged in really severe austerities. Like super severe austerities. And became very, very powerful. And Lord Shiva came before him and said, you're doing radical austerities. I'm Ashutosh, I'm easily pleased. You don't have to do these things. Cut off your heads and things like that. You don't have to do that. Well, what is it that you would like? I want immortality. And Lord Shiva said, no. You can't have immortality. Then he did something like what Hiranyakashipu did. He said, well, I can't be killed by this one, that one, that one, this one, the other one, the other one. And the one he left was a human being. So Ram appeared as a human being to uphold the word of Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva also gave him various powers, mystic powers. So now he's not can't be killed by this one, that one, the other one, and has mystic power. So he went on the warpath and started smashing and crashing everybody. Then he went to Kuvera and said, Kuvera, my dear stepbrother, I want this kingdom. And you can either give it to me or I'll kill you. Take your choice. Kuvera went to their father, Vishrava, and said, what do you do? Vishrava said, he's become too powerful, for too proud and too powerful. If you fight him, you'll lose. Just give him the kingdom. So Ravana took Lanka, even without a battle. So his pride was just bubbling over the top. So one time he went to go visit Lord Shiva, who had given him these benedictions. And Nandi was guarding the gate. And Ravana said, I want to see Lord Shiva. And he was so arrogant, he said, I don't think Lord Shiva would want to see you. You're too proud. And Then Ravana started insulting Nandi. And Nandi said, you're an impossible person. You'll be destroyed by a monkey. And then to show off his strength, Ravana started lifting the whole of Mount Kailash to show Nandi, you're messing with the wrong guy. We started to lift Mount Kailash. It's very powerful. Lord Shiva could understand what he was doing and the pride that was in his heart. So he just put his toe on the top of Mount Kailash and it swished Ravana. And he just held him there. He didn't like kill him, he just like squished him. And he held him like that for years. And then the nerves of Ravana were bulging from his body and he started playing his nerves like a veena, like musical instruments, because he had learned all that from his father, Vishrava. And he sang the praises of Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva was very pleased. He said, all right, I'll let you free. In fact, here's a very special sword. With this sword, you can defeat anyone. But if you use it in an undharmic way, the sword will come back to my hand and you'll be destroyed. And again, he gave him mystic powers and this and that. And so, in this way, all of these things happened before the situation of Ravan kidnapping Sita. Extremely powerful, but he was a Brahmana by birth. And so, although he was a Brahmana by birth, not by quality, and by laws of Dharma, the sin of stealing another man's wife is punishable by death and all of the other atrocities that Ravana had done. So he was deserving of being killed. But still, showing the character of an ideal king, he was ready to atone for the act of killing a Brahmana. So he asked Agastya, what should I do? Agastya said, you don't need to ask me, because you're fully qualified. You're the personality God has. But if you ask, because you've asked, I'll do some service. In one way to atone for the act of killing a Brahmana is you worship Lord Shiva. I think it would be very appropriate if Lord Shiva himself provided his own deity. And right now he's in Mount Kailash. So everyone turned to Hanuman. Said, Hanuman, you can leap very fast. Can you go to Kailash and get a Lord Shiva deity directly from the hand of Lord Shiva himself and bring it back here really quick? There goes Hanuman to Kailash. And when he reached Kailash, Lord Shiva was in meditation on Lord Vishnu. So Hanuman sat in meditation also, waiting for Lord Shiva to finish his meditation. Meanwhile, time was passing. It's already 9:15. And it was time, the auspicious time for worshipping Lord Shiva according to what Agastya Muni had said. So Agastya Muni said, we have to do something. Hanuman hasn't come back yet. So Lord Ramachandra turned to Sita. You're very expert at arts. Can you fashion the Shiva Linga? So with sand, with her own hand, this little girl has to go somewhere. Can you do that, please, rather than disturbing the whole class? One day she'll grow up. And there'll be five others to replace her. So, Sita fashioned a Shiva linga with her hand, and the auspicious time was met, and with the mantras and the abhishek, as we see, then the Shiva linga was worshipped, and then Hanuman came back. And just as the worship was over, and how did Hanuman feel? Because he's in Dasya Rasa, he felt, I failed to serve Ram. I should fast until death. There's a long description of saying this and saying that and his feelings. And he became very, very solemn and grave. It wasn't like, you know, it wasn't light at all. It was very heavy. And Ram started then praising Hanuman. Hanuman, you're the most dear of my devotees. You have done this and you've done that. And here's one little thing. It's one little thing. And you couldn't interfere with Lord Shiva's meditation. He was in meditation. So it wasn't your fault. Please don't blame yourself. But Hanuman's mood was so grave. And then Ramchandra's mood changed and said, Hanuman, you can't leave me. You're more dear to my life than my life. Because of you, I was able to rejoin Sita. And I want to rejoin with Bharat. But if you leave me, how will I rejoin with Bharat again? And Hanuman's mood didn't change. And then Ramchandra started to cry. And when the tears of Ramchandra fell on the body of Hanuman, then his mood broke. His lamentation, spiritual lamentation, broke. And Ram said, we can still worship the Shiva Linga that you brought. In fact, if you want, we can place it right here. But I don't think you'll be able to move the Shiva Linga. You can try. So they tried. Hanuman, he's so powerful. He can lift a whole mountain, right? So he tried lifting the Shiva Linga. It wouldn't move. So he wrapped his powerful tail around the Shiva Linga, along with his arms and his legs, and tried lifting the Shiva Linga. It wouldn't move. Blood came out of his tail. Couldn't move the Shiva Linga. Then he realized, it's not possible. Look what I've done. I've made this, on top of a mistake, I've made now this big offense. So he started lamenting again. Ram said, you haven't made an offense. You've just glorified Lord Shiva and Sita. Because this Shiva Linga goes down to the very bottom of creation, down in Patala Loka, all the way from this earthly realm. It's not possible to move this. But I'll tell you what, you put your Shiva Linga up on that little mountainside over there, and anyone who comes in the future, they should worship that Shiva Linga, then this one, and take bath in Dhanush Tirtha, and all of their sins will be taken away. So for that reason, many, 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 many pilgrims go to those places in Rameshwaram. So our teaching then is, Ram worshipped Lord Shiva to show the position. There's many levels. To show the position of an ideal king who is submissive to the Brahmanas, and the Brahmana Agastya giving this as a means of atonement. A deeper meaning is that Ramachandra enjoys honoring his own devotee. The Supreme Lord honors, he enjoys honoring his own devotee. Just like the pastime in Krishna's Leela and Dwarka. In Krishna's Leela and Dwarka, there was one Brahmana that came to visit Krishna in Dwarka. What was his name? Starts with an S. Sudama. And when Sudama came to see Krishna, what did Krishna do? Krishna worshipped him. He more than massaged his feet, he washed his feet, and he performed arti with a chamara and a lamp, and he performed arti. He worshipped Sudama because he's a Brahmana. So what does that mean? It means that Sudama is the Lord and Krishna is the servant of the master, Sudama. No, that's not what it means. And that's not what that means either. Lord Ramachandra enjoys, the Supreme Lord enjoys worshipping his own devotee. That's how Vaishnavas view. Now, others may view differently. But that's how Vaishnavas view. That's this test. Here's Lord Ramachandra with his bow, using his bow to boil the ocean so that Samudra can come forward and... Whoops. That was interesting. And serve him. So now we're at text 4. I better move more quickly. The Lord, whose pure form, Satchit Ananda Vigraha, is uncontaminated by the modes of material nature, can be perceived by pure consciousness in the Vedanta, is described as being one without a second. Because of his spiritual potency, he is untouched by the contamination of material nature. And because he is not subjected to material visions, he is known as transcendental. He has no material activities, nor has he a material form or name. Only in pure consciousness, Krishna consciousness, can one perceive the transcendental form of the Lord. Let us firmly find, let us be firmly fixed at the lotus feet of Lord Ramachandra. And let us offer our respectful obeisances unto those transcendental lotus feet. This is a setup, these two verses, 3 and 4, they're set up for the next 5 and 6. Because in various ways, Hanuman is attaining the transcendental position of Lord Ramachandra. Because when it comes to his pastimes, the pastimes appear ordinary. But we see or hear his ordinary pastimes, right, seemingly ordinary pastimes, we have to remember he's transcendental. Satchitananda has no material qualities, can't even be seen with material vision, and so forth. Transcendental. So here's his lotus feet being worshipped by... Who's that? Huh? Guha. Guha. Who's Guha? Yeah. But he's not just a boatman. He helped carry Ram across the river in a boat. But he has a position. He's the... Huh? Yeah, he's a king or a leader of people who live in the forest, tribal people, like kind of like Aborigine people, uncultured, uncivilized people. But he's a king, and he's a great devotee. And because of his devotion, Ramachandra allowed him to worship his feet and offer nice things to him and carry him across in his boat. Okay, there is text 5. It was ordained that Ravana, chief of the Rakshasas, could not be killed by anyone but a man. And for this reason, Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of God, appeared in the form of a human being. So that's one of his reasons for his appearance. But there's another one. Lord Ramachandra's mission, however, was not only to kill Ravana, but also to teach mortal beings that material happiness centered around sex life or centered around one's wife is a cause of many miseries. Not only killing Ravana. He is the self-sufficient Supreme Personality of Godhead, and nothing is lamentable for him. Therefore, why else could he be subjected to tribulations by the kidnapping of Mother Sita? He's going to say the same thing again in the next verse. But let's go over this. So he came at the request of the demigods. Lord Vishnu was appealed by the demigods to destroy Ravana. So he came to destroy Ravana. But he had another mission. The mission was to teach this lesson. Because remember, he's transcendental, Satchitananda Vigraha, etc., etc., etc. So when he does something, it's not like us. He's teaching us. And one of those lessons is this one. So I'll say it the way that Prabhupada did, because I was, since it's already 25 after 9. In Hyderabad, I'll make it a shorter story. I was in with a group of devotees that were very fortunate. When a man named Mr. Reddy from Andhra, from Hyderabad, had donated some land in downtown Hyderabad, requesting us to build a temple there, Prabhupada brought 100 devotees from Mayapur at the time of the Mayapur festival by train from Calcutta to Hyderabad to hold a 1-week festival. We had kirtan during the day and at night a pandal program, and Prabhupada spoke on the stage. It was to introduce to people that Hare Krishna temple is going to be opening soon. That was the purpose. So each midday or early afternoon, after we were doing Harinam for the bulk part of the day, we went to somebody in life member's home for lunch. So one of those days during that week was Mr. Reddy's home, the man who had donated the land. He was a very wealthy man, so his house was really big, landscaping all over the place, beautiful, beautiful place. So we went, sat under the shade of the trees and had our lunch. I had lunch really quickly because I knew Prabhupada was inside the house. So I went inside the house and sat in the sitting room. And their sitting room was at least as big as this room. And Prabhupada was on one side, seated on a little platform. And over on this side were the ladies. And then, the sannyasis over here. So the ladies were asking Prabhupada, Swamiji, why did Ramachandra make a mistake? And Prabhupada said he didn't make a mistake. He's the personality of Godhead. Yes, but Swamiji, he must have known that the golden deer was Marichi, because he's omniscient. But still he went after Marichi, and so many problems happened. Swamiji, why did he make a mistake? And Prabhupada went back, it's not a mistake, it was a lila. And they did this 5 days of a lila. Yeah, but Swamiji, Sita had to suffer so much at the hands of Ravana, and why did Ramachandra make the mistake? So Prabhupada said this. Prabhupada said he was teaching that even if you're the personality of Godhead, you have too much association with a woman, you're going to have trouble. And they continued to give Swamiji trouble. But Swamiji! And all the sannyasis laughed, Prabhupada laughed, and the ladies didn't get it. Because they were giving Swamiji some trouble. But he wanted to teach this. And so the final message, therefore, why else could he be subjected to tribulations by the kidnapping of Mother Sita? It was to teach something. There's other things going on also. It was love and separation. It was a pastime to permit their Ram to experience separation from Sita. Love and separation strengthens the quality of love. So there's many things happening with one thing. But what Hanuman, who's a very dear devotee of Ram, understands about Ram, he was teaching a lesson. So listen to this. In his next prayer, there's Hanuman being killed, or Ram being killed. Since Lord Sri Ramachandra is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, he is not attached to anything in this material world. He is the most beloved super soul of all self-realized souls. And he is their very intimate friend. He is full of all opulences, therefore. He could not possibly have suffered because of separation from his wife. Nor could he have given up his wife and Lakshmana, his younger brother. To give up either would have been absolutely impossible. It sure looked like they were separated. But according to Hanuman, impossible! They're eternally connected. In other words, it's a lila. And he's indicating at least one of the reasons for the lila is to teach us a lesson. You become too attached and you're going to have miserable existence. And the miserable existence started from this lady over here, the hunchback lady. Kaikeyi. No, Mantra. Mantra, right? Mantra. On Mantra's bad advice, Kaikeyi became very bewildered and asked for Ram to be banished. Whoops. That was the end of the whole display. What happened here? No signal. Technology is great when it works. It's really frustrating when it doesn't. Okay, there's the... Okay, Ram's leaving for the forest. Sita, Ram and Lakshman entering the forest together. Very famous scene. They're entering now the forest. Sita loves the forest scenery. All the animals and the birds and the natural scenery. After all, she came from Earth, so she loves this natural settings of Earth. But she's very happy with this Sita. She's with Ram and Lakshman in this wonderful setting. She just loves her life in the forest. It's like, you know, exile, no problem. And then came the faithful of her, the deer, over there on the left side. There's your pointer. The deer, Sita wants the deer. Please, Ram, very soon we'll be going back to Ayodhya. And you know how much I love the park outside the royal palace. If we have this deer there, we can enjoy together with the deer. Can you capture the deer? And Lakshman says, no. This is a trick. Who has seen a deer like that? That's not even one of the 8,400,000 species of life. It's something very strange and mystical. I don't trust it. Ram, don't go. Sita says, please go. I want the deer. And Ram said, oh, even if it's a trick, I'm so powerful, I can kill the deer. No problem. Lakshman, you stay here and protect Sita. And that had happened a number of times in Janastan. Remember Janastan? Kar and Dushan, after Suparnaka's nose had been cut off, she went and cried to them, revenge, revenge! 14,000 soldiers came charging to take revenge. Ram said to Lakshman, take Sita, protect her, put her in a cave and stand guard, don't let any harm come to Sita. That had happened many times before, Lakshman guarding Sita. But this time it didn't work. Because when Reach was killed, by the arrow of Ram, a loud voice was called out by Maricha's, Lakshman! Help! Lakshman, did you hear that sound? That's your brother. He's calling for you to help him. Go quickly. Ram doesn't need any help. He's the personality of Godhead. He's fine. He can protect himself. Anyway, so Sita threatened, insulted and threatened Lakshman. So Lakshman left. And he made that circle around the cottage. And there comes Radha, disguised as a Brahmin begging alms, and Sita, being a cultured lady, wanting to give alms to a Brahmana. But then he captured Sita and took her away. Jatayu, big battle. Look how the claws of Jatayu grabbing hold of one of the animals holding his chariot. Jatayu was big. But Ravana cut off his wings and he fell to the ground. There's Sita dropping her jewels as she's crossing over the Rishimukh mountain. Ram and Lakshman finding Jatayu, offering the funeral for Jatayu after Jatayu tells what he saw. Sita was headed that way in the clutches of Ravana. Performing his funeral. And then Sita being tormented by Radha, trying to break her will so that she would submit to him. And when she refused, Sita said, Ravan, my austerities and chastity are so powerful that I could burn you into ashes in a moment. But I wouldn't do it without the order of my Lord Ramachandra. She was fearless. She spoke so heavy to Radha. And the Rakshasis then were given the assignment to torment Sita and break her will. But amongst all of the Rakshasis, there was one who was in the quality of Buddhas. Trijata was the daughter of Vibhishan. And Trijata gave solace to Sita. When all the other Rakshasis had gone to sleep, she came and pacified Sita, saying, Sita, I had this dream. And in my dream, Ram had come with Lakshman to redeem you. And he destroyed the entire army of Ravana. And on this wonderful chariot, he was taking you back to Lanka. Sita, soon Ram will come. Don't worry. This is a very auspicious dream. I'm sure that you'll be safe. And don't worry. Ravan will never be able to touch you. He's been cursed. If he ever touches a woman, he'll die instantly. So don't worry. He won't violate you. Sita, take courage. Sita was so pleased to receive this kind of solace. If all my anxiety is gone, Trijata, I give this vow. If I somehow get out of this predicament, all these Rakshasis that have been tormenting me, they should all be forgiven because of your service. And they made their way back to Lanka. And it's just because of time. There's two more verses. One cannot establish a friendship with the Supreme Lord Ramachandra on the basis of material qualities, such as one's birth in an aristocratic family, one's personal beauty, one's eloquence, one's sharp intelligence, or one's superior race or nation, none of these qualifications is actually a prerequisite for friendship with Lord Sri Ramachandra. Otherwise, how is it possible that although we, uncivilized inhabitants of the forest, have not taken noble births, although we have no physical beauty, and although we cannot speak like gentlemen, Lord Ramachandra has nevertheless accepted us as friends. Friendship. Although it's Dasya Rasa, Lord Ramachandra, when news came to Ramachandra, Hanuman's finding Sita, and Sita's giving intimate exchanges between the two of them, the incident with the crow, etc., where then Ramachandra knew, because something that only the two of them knew, that Hanuman had found Sita. He said, normally a king would reward a messenger with great riches and all kinds of valuable things, but I'm living in the forest, I have nothing to give you except my embrace. And Lord Ramachandra embraced Hanuman like this. And that's much better than any riches that for Hanuman. The embrace of Lord Ramachandra. So Ramachandra gives association to one, not because of material qualifications, but by devotion. As he did here, these are the ornaments of Sita. Sugriva was there leaning against the tree with the crown, seated next to Ram, and showing Ram the ornaments of Sita. Ram is holding his heart, feeling what difficulties Sita is having to endure. So, with this very same fire, they took vows of friendship, and on the basis of that vows of friendship, Hanuman went to find Sita and incinerated the whole city of Lanka. This is Sita there waiting before he goes back. And there isn't time. We'll have to do this another time because of time. There's a whole nice description of this image and Vibhishan's surrender to Lord Ram, saying, Lord Ramachandra supervising the bridge as they floated stones. But you see in the lower left corner that little squirrel? Hanuman told the squirrel, get out of the way, we're trying to build a bridge. And Ram said to Hanuman, why are you speaking like that? You are very powerful and you're using all of your strength, but the squirrel is using all of his strength. So as far as I'm concerned, they're equal. Anyone who offers to me with love, whatever it is that they have, I'm ready to accept it. I consider the service of the squirrel and the service of you as equal because it's giving his best. And there's who? Bowman? What's his name? Guha. Carrying Ram across. And there's Shabari. Long story, which we don't have time for because it's now 20 minutes to 10. Lord Ramachandra accepted the service of Shabari at the hermitage of sage Matanga as she honored him. Wonderful description of her service. Very great personality in Ram's pastimes. So Ram accepted friendship and loving service from anyone regardless of their worldly background. And then the last verse. Therefore, whether one is a demigod or a demon or man or a creature other than man, such as a beast, a bird, everyone should worship Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appears on this earth just like a human being. There is no need of great austerities or penances to worship the Lord, for He accepts even a small service offered by his devotee. Thus he is satisfied. And as soon as he is satisfied, the devotee is successful. Indeed, Lord Sri Ramachandra brought all of the devotees of Ayodhya back home, back to Godhead, Well, almost all the devotees. I don't know, I'm saying. To sing these songs so we could remember the glories of Lord Ram through the vision of this great devotee. I'm sorry it took so long. I've had a long day. I've been up since, I left Houston at 7 o'clock in the morning. There's 2 hours time difference. So for me, it's almost midnight. I think we'll end. See the Prabhupada key.
Yeah.